It's not complicated. Call it creative. Call it art. Call it design. It's the Design Coach on Lake 96.1.
You know, there's a sign sitting across from me.
It's actually right in front of you.
And it sits across from me every week.
Directly in front of
that
you.
That literally says, microphones very sensitive.
Yeah.
Okay? And then a list of things I shouldn't do.
Right.
I break all of them on a regular basis, I just realized.
You do. It's okay. I may or may not have written that sign for specific.
You know what else is sensitive? Your host, okay?
Not.
Your host is sensitive.
Listen, if you were sensitive, you wouldn't be in the job that you were in. You are not.
Anyway, good morning, everyone. You're listening to the Sensitive Design Coach right here on Lake 96.1 with your host, Philip Sassano. No, Nancy, I was an exposed nerve when I first started my company.
Well, everybody is.
I hung on every ounce of feedback. And I took everything they said, and it just struck me at my creative core because I couldn't separate, you know, sort of the business from the personal,
sure,
from the artistic, from the collaboration to the critique. Like I as a young professional 20 plus years ago, that was really hard for me. It was funny because Julie lived that with me. Like, God bless her. Like, she just lived that. And it was.
Is that why she travels for a living now?
To get away. Yes, it's a break for me. You may be onto something there, Nancy. No, I'm sure
no,
that's not. In fact,
not
she encourages
it.
Me to travel with her. So she's great about that. Speaking of traveling, we had our final fall college drop-off. I know a lot of you out there have experienced the college drop-off, for many, many years. And if you haven't, it's truly, it is really interesting. I mean, we realized this was like our 12th. Mm-hmm. Our 12th one and our last. Wow.
Actually, didn't you have two kids that went to the same college at the same time?
Uh-huh.
So you actually killed a couple birds with one stone.
Yeah, it's highly
recommended.
If you can do it, it's highly recommended. However, yeah. I did realize I gave my daughters way too much decorative leeway because I am now stuck. Okay, because remember, so Zoe's a senior now. We dropped her off at Miami of Ohio and for her senior year. It's exciting. And she's in a great setup. It's like the best designed room I think she's ever done. And I didn't really do it. I mean, I didn't design it. She kind of did it, arranged it. But I was struck by how many things I still have left over in my garage from previous dorms that now Julie's like, well, we have to save it for their apartments. I'm like, they're not going to want any of this for their apartments. They're going to want to buy all new stuff again. And I'm not buying them all new stuff again. But apparently, I keep buying them all new stuff again. And Julie right now is listening going, yeah, you keep buying them all new stuff again. But,
you know, they're big people now.
It's a creative expression.
Right. But they're big people now. And they'll be able to
so
do that
I,
on
I,
their
listen,
own.
I, as are most things in my life, I am the root of the problem. So I understand what
I've seen pictures.
I understand what I've created,
beautiful.
But I am left.
Right.
I am left with these random fragments in my second garage of like things where I'm like, well, you don't want this cool thing. You don't want this. They're like, no, that was kind of last year. And I'm looking at myself like, this is not fashion. This is like, it's an end table. It should go to you to the next place.
Right.
At least that's the way.
But there's still some useful life left in it.
That was the intent anyway. I
well,
digress.
No.
Anyway,
yeah.
You
know what Facebook Marketplace is for, right? Exactly that crap.
Yeah, but I'm worried people are just going to show up to who I don't know.
Don't put your...
It's going to take me... For the $5 I'm going to gain on the thing that I'm going to try to sell, technologically, it might take me hours to load it, you know? And I'm not going to job that to my team. A job enough to my team. I mean, I have staffed to every deficiency I have.
I have
okay,
figured out.
Okay, in order to do the things that I do. And I've come to terms with the fact that's looking out. That's working out for me. Okay? Staffing to every deficiency I have is working out for me.
I have figured out that I, in fact, do not have nearly enough furniture for the different things that
could I have some in my garage. Would you
so,
like it?
So, yes, if you'll take a picture and send it to me, that'd be great. And I will pick and choose. And I will personally come down and get it. And it will not be strange because I am not a stranger.
Oh, Nancy.
But I feel the same way. Like, my husband wants to put all this crap on Facebook Marketplace. And I'm like, dude, I don't want strangers at my house anymore. I'm done.
I don't either.
Like, throw it away.
I don't know. If your major marketplace is named after a person, Craig, that's not...
Right.
I don't... I don't know how that's a good idea at all on any level. I'm sure people make a living at it.
But they do. Not, people like other people's stuff.
Not this purveyor. Anyway, speaking of making a living, I have a...
Says the guy who has a 47-foot countertop in his showroom that was someone else's.
It's 26.
Right.
And it's historic.
Right. Which meant it has a story from someone else.
Nothing in my garage as left over by my daughters is historic on any level.
Well, no. Well, that's true.
It was, it's just
maybe
not.
To them.
Well,
and maybe it has stories you don't know about. You won't know about until they're like 50.
I don't know. If that's the case, it didn't mean much, very, very much to them. But I will tell you, the last college drop-off was, we're pros at it, man. We should write a book.
Yeah.
You know, we are just, I think I said this last year, we are just pros at it. So best of luck to everybody who you dropped off at some location, right?
Did your allergies kick in?
No, you know what?
We had a guy at the JC's.
It was hot, but no, I did not.
No, I'm like we had a guy from the JC's who dropped off his oldest daughter, and he came back on Sunday, and he was at Venetian Fest. And,
oh, and he said it was
and
allergies?
And he's like, he said, we just got back, and for some reason, my allergies got really bad. And we were like, oh, that's so sweet.
Yeah, meaning he was crying.
He was,
I get emotional
like,
about it.
She's my baby.
I know, I'm just saying, I'm sensitive, okay? The difference is I've learned to control the sensitivity. Yeah. And I've learned to channel it appropriately.
Oh, where do you channel that sensitivity
into?
Into
lots of things.
Oh.
Okay? Lots of things.
I mean, it's not like you have anything going on.
But I want to hit on a topic today that I think is something that I say this every time. I'm sure I've talked around this issue sometimes. I don't know if I've really taken a deeper dive on it. And it's really something that, Nancy, more than ever, I feel like, you know, when you start to think that so what you're doing is like a given, like, oh, well, everybody's doing that, right? Like, oh, yeah, that's not unique to me. And then you realize that some of the most basic things that we do as a service provider are not normal.
Right.
Some of the most basic and what we believe to be intrinsic and intuitive to what we do at the Design Coach, we're realizing that those things are maybe no longer the norm. Now, there's a lot there to unpack.
I was going to say, do you find that sad in ways?
Not for me, because to be honest with you, all it does is, here's what I do find. I find that we are all now victims of the bad service environment we have helped to create for a number of different reasons. And we've litigated and value engineered some of the most basic pride in work out of what people provide on so many levels as a service.
But see, that's the part I find sad.
That we've taken it, we've commoditized it to a point where the service needs, it almost needs automation, right? Because it's so impersonal that it almost needs it to be reliable.
Right.
It almost needs automation to be reliable because without automation, it can't be reliable. And then even if it is reliable, there's now so many barriers where you have to call a 1-800 number to call another 1-800 number to then wait for the 1-800 number person to either call you back. Did you try our chat line, which you don't even know if that's a human being? You know, it's gotten to the point where, you know, it's just going to be even more confusing with AI because it's just going to mask sort of the same barriers to entry. And you don't even know if you're getting a real problem solver or if you're just getting something that's trying to analyze
data. Right.
Something that, you know, in other words, you don't know if that's going to be an artificial response or a real response. And in some cases, the argument's going to be made, well, the artificial response might be better, maybe, but for some things, absolutely not.
No, right.
And so what's really been rolling around in my brain for the past month and a half is, as we embark on some of the big things that we're doing at the Vault and for our clients nationwide, who, by the way, we are so just so blessed and so honored to be in service to them. I mean, I was commenting this week that it's so rare to be able to, we hosted an event this week, or I should say my client hosted an event this week that we were in support of. And the group was, you know, sort of day one, like arriving at the home. The ability for the designer of the environment, of the home, of the project, to see it play out in real time in front of you in practical application. Like, in other words, did your design actually lead to the lifestyle outcome that you had, you know, collaborated on
the intention
with the client, right? Like, this is what I want to have. Like, I want to have this type of experience with my family or my guests or even just for myself. How does it actually play out? So few designers get the opportunity to be in that space except on special occasion.
Mm-hmm.
Not on the daily like we are.
Mm-hmm.
It is a very rare and it is a very special place for us to see how the different service providers that we rely on,
right,
to deliver the service, because we're not plumbers and we're not electricians and we're not all of these other things that, you know, you need to sort of support, you know, the homes that.
You mean your girls aren't over there cutting tile and grouting and stuff like that?
They are super handy and they do a lot of things, but like there's just it takes teams.
A huge team for the project.
It takes teams and it takes reliability and it takes skill and it takes a lot to do what we're trying to deliver at the Design Coach at a very high level with our model. And I feel like I'm almost uniquely qualified as a service provider and one who relies on service providers to be able to talk about what I think are the backbones of great service.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that the foundation of great service has been something that I think we've been chipping away at, sometimes unknowingly, for decades. Right? I mean, you know, they say you can only, you know, they can say that there's three things, you know, cheap, fast, right? You know, you can have it, you know, done well, done cheap, done fast, pick two. Right?
Right.
We've almost gotten to a point where
we've lowered our expectations, though.
But in some ways we've lowered our expectations unknowingly, but we've also then increased our level of petulance in the delivery of the service, meaning, you know, we still want perfect, but we want it for less.
And quicker.
And faster. And it's interesting how it's almost like the universe from a service perspective is compressing that a little bit. And now that the labor market, right, has been stretched now, you know, since I'm going to say almost pre-COVID.
Right.
Almost like post-crash. Because a lot of people who were in there in the service business is trying to get going, you know, when the housing market imploded during the financial crash, a lot of those guys went out of business and went to go work for people because they just couldn't handle, right, the roller coaster
of being an entrepreneur.
They couldn't get back. I mean, our business has survived that. Our business has survived COVID, right? So we've seen a lot. And there isn't this explosion of people starting their own businesses, because part of the reason is because it's not that easy.
Right.
And you have to have the stomach for it.
Right.
Okay. When we come back from the break, one of the things that I want to talk about is the bedrock to great service that we've experienced, and also some of the barriers to it that are both self-imposed and now that exist that I want you to be aware of, because the level of service that's provided to you and to your project will make all the difference. Stay with us. You're listening to The Design Coach right here on Lake 96.1. Welcome back, everyone. You're listening to The Design Coach right here on Lake 96.1 with your host, Philip Sassano. We're talking about the foundations of great service. You know, Nancy, to full transparency, like, this is something I've had to learn and perfect and keep perfecting over 25 plus years.
Well,
I don't come at this from the perspective of like I'm some sort of expert in it. But I do know it when I see it, and I do know the lift that it provides. And I think we have to watch how many times we throw around the term expert, because I think if you're continually learning, you don't look at yourself that way.
Right.
I don't look at myself as an expert. I look at myself as someone who has a lot of experience, has had a lot of eyes on a lot of people and a lot of projects. And I see alignment and misalignment on a regular basis. And I'm seeing some really troubling things that I'm hoping change. Because I'm using the Design Coach and I'm using the Vault and I'm using the latest endeavors that were things we're chasing to benchmark what kind of partners do we have in building big things. And I think the same holds true for the service industry, as it does for the relationships in your life. You know, we often, all too often, make this distinction between our work life and our personal life. You know, Like, well, that's, I'm ruthless in business, but I'm a great father.
Right.
It's like, well, okay.
Well, I mean,
it's hard to live that duality. Let's just be honest.
Right. Actions speak louder than words. So, okay.
Like, it's you know what I'm saying? Like, right. A good person is a good person. You know, that thread, right?
Right.
And listen, good people make mistakes. I think one of the things that we've tried to do for a number of different reasons, we've tried to make the human interaction of service mistake-free.
Ha. Huh. That's not human.
And that's, it's also not authentic.
Nope.
And some of the best attributes to really good service that I found has been the level of authenticity people bring to the experience. You know, the level of them, right? The level of their soul and why they do what they do.
Mm-hmm.
The level of intentionality, obviously, that we keep talking about on this show, when it comes to really, really being called to serve. You know, there have been so many constraints that have been put on small business and so many constraints that have been put on the insurance industry.
Mm-hmm.
And so many constraints that have been put on
manufacturing,
bureaucracy and right. And regulation that we've tried to make it a bubble wrapped service provider atmosphere where in case something goes wrong, everyone's covered. Now, I'm not saying that that's not important. I'm not saying that mitigating risk isn't important. It obviously is. But it also shouldn't be the overriding factor in something, right? Because what it means that people are delivering the service with a sense of fear.
Exactly.
They're delivering service from a defensive posture.
But they've been intimidated.
Yeah, and I want to start this conversation where when in your life has anything you've ever done felt better on a defensive posture?
Yeah, never. Divorce? I don't know. I mean, well, nothing with a good outcome, technically.
When you're playing defense, you're protecting.
Right.
Which... when you're in that protectionist mode, it makes it very difficult to offer yourself because you naturally don't want to be vulnerable.
Right.
Which we've talked about in the collaborative environment that it takes to deliver great service, the vulnerability, the human transaction of I got you, you got me, and you're not going to screw me and I'm not going to screw you. Okay.
The good old handshake.
Has to be part of the equation in when doing things in some of the ways that we do them at the Design Coach. And I think that's lost.
Well, trust. People don't have trust for each other anymore, for sure.
They don't, but we've also decided that maybe we don't need it because it's in the contract. Or maybe we don't need it because you didn't read the fine print on the bottom of your phone bill.
But isn't
or
that we didn't, sad?
Like, no, well, it is sad.
Yeah.
But in a way, what we're finding is that things are still done in a way that is intensely human, where now, in contrast, some of the litigated industry types of postures aren't working.
No. Right.
It's like when you take people out of it, people don't like it. Okay? Now, here's what's happening. You know, when you're trying to access something, okay? That doesn't need a lot of human interaction. Let's say you're buying a commodity. You're buying whatever you're buying, and you can buy it from a million different places. You don't require a human to sell you on the item that you know you're already going to buy. Okay? You just want it the fastest for the lowest price.
Right.
And you assume that the quality is baked into that because it's the same thing.
Right.
You know, it's trash bags. I can buy trash bags from anywhere.
Right.
I don't need a human to be like, you know what? You should buy trash bags from us.
Right.
Okay? It's like, well, it's the same trash bag. I can get it anywhere.
Exactly.
That's not the service business, okay? But we've treated the service environment almost the same way we treat product.
Good point.
We have made it about an outcome that I want, and we liken it to a product that we can just purchase that is the same everywhere. And it's not.
Right.
The service business and service providers and the landscape is way too nuanced for that approach. Yet, we still want a structure that gets us to us on time, fast, cheap, and the way we think it should turn out. God forbid, also then have clients try to explain to you what your job is when they've never done it.
Client-splaining?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, it's like the classic, contractors will know this too, like when a client says, well, that shouldn't take you very long. How do you know?
Right. Right.
What do you mean that shouldn't take you very long? Not just bake that really cool birthday cake. Well, that shouldn't take you very long.
Right.
It takes as long as it takes to do it right. So you're, you know, what you think is some, like, what you think is some obligatory, some, you know, some arbitrary timeline. And when you think it gets done when it gets done right. Mm-hmm. Some contractors that I know who I've worked with are extremely diligent and they're slower compared to what? This is what I'm saying, right?
How do you know?
Either the job's done right or it's not done correctly.
Right. And the only sign that there's a problem is if there's mistakes that are being brought to your attention that is taking longer. Otherwise, if they're just simply doing it right and they're taking their time to do the quality work that you expect from them and that they expect from themselves, then...
Well, that's where it all begins, right? It begins with the understanding that true service comes from a very personal and human place. And so to be able to wrap it in some sort of, I don't know, formulaic approach to being able to evaluate different service providers, it's way too nuanced.
Mm-hmm.
Yet, we keep applying really bad approaches. So what I want to talk about, because listen, there's a part of this that I don't want to go too client heavy, right? Like the piece of the puzzle that I don't know that I'm going to get into this week on this show is the client responsibility. I can touch on some of that, but what I really want to talk about is the posture of the service provider and how you recognize what great service looks like.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? How to recognize what the human element looks like in the collaboration of great service. We can maybe touch on how clients shoot themselves in the foot all the time, okay? Even before they've even hired anyone. Because they do that a lot.
Sure.
Right?
Uh-huh.
You know, I just need you to handle this quick and I don't want it to cost a lot. You've already cut the knees out from your project.
Right.
You've said, it doesn't really matter to me and I just want it for the lowest price. Well, then why should it matter to your service provider?
Right.
Okay?
Okay, we'll come in and knock
that out. Let's just assume for a minute we're going to shelve that. Okay? And what we're going to do is we're going to say, okay, the service providers with whom I've had the best experiences, and right now, Nancy, I think I'm working with one of the best, I think, overall teams nationally in the understanding of how to truly deliver service. And what it keeps coming back to one core element. These are just good people who want to do a good job.
Yeah.
And what they're doing in this environment is they're having to play all too often on the client side and on the let's call it the GC side too, the general contractor side, is that the subcontractors are in this weird position where they're trying to service both the client and the GC. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And those two things are not always aligned.
Right.
Now, our job at the design coach is to make sure that there's complete alignment there. Right?
Right.
Which means we also request that we're able to work directly with the subcontractors on behalf of the builder, and the builder can be right there. But I don't want my alignment of my vision filtered through GC. I'm the one having the client conversations about why we're choosing material. I'm the one having the conversations about the cost. I'm the one having the conversations about why this is the right materials application. I require the labor and the skill and the scheduling from the GC. So we all have a role. Right.
Mm-hmm.
This is why I say to you in the service providing industry, you know, when you're looking to service provider, the first thing that you have to understand about hiring the right person is that they've got to be someone who will problem solve with you and not coach you with too much rigidity. In other words, the first trigger is active listening. And we pay a lot of lip service to that, Nancy. We pay a lot of lip service to this active listening. Like, what does it really mean? What it really means is it's really trying to come to an understanding by asking volley questions. Remember a few shows ago, I can't remember what I did, but I talked about like true conversation is like a really good volley.
Yeah.
It's not an argument, But it's a volley for like, okay, so are you saying this? Are you saying this? And it's constantly like being at the eye doctor.
Uh-huh.
When things begin to come into focus on the chart.
Click, click. Click,
yeah,
click.
Better here or here, click, better click, here click, or here. Click, and right. You're constantly clicking the lenses with questions mm-hmm. to be able to refine the focus and refine the understanding of the vision. That's probably the best analogy I can give is being at the eye doctor.
Right.
And it's perfect. And what happens is when you have a contractor that's able to ask lots of questions, not just nod, say okay, right? And sort of just listen to, until you finish so they can get you a number. I will tell you that the active listening piece is where it kind of all begins. Some of the best contractors that I've worked with were kind of trying to figure out whether or not I was a good partner, not whether or not they wanted a job. I think
that's sense.
I think that that's one, but that's one of the things that if you're not willing to dig at, because here's what everybody gets to. They get to the what. Here's what I need done. They never ask, how do you do it well?
Sometimes they never ask, how do you do it at all?
No, not at all.
Let alone well.
And I'm not saying that you have to stand around for some technical diatribe.
No.
Okay, from your contractor.
Nobody wants
in fact,
that.
You don't necessarily want the contractor that when you ask him or her what time it is, they tell you how a watch is made.
Right.
You don't want that either.
Exactly.
Okay. But what you do want is a certain level of volley in the active listening process in the beginning so that they have a really good, clear understanding of you and the needs of the project, okay, and the outcome you're trying to achieve. When we come back from the break, we're going to take it from active listening to the actual attributes in the field that are the foundation of great service. Stay with us. You're listening to The Design Coach right here on Lake 96.1. We're back. Was I chewing?
No, it's you know how, remember
I've been told not to eat on the microphone and I break that every time.
Remember the commercial with the owl and it said how many licks to the center of a Tootsie Roll Pop?
Yes.
And then he licks it like five times, then he bites into it.
Yep.
That's what we just figured out, that we can, in fact, inhale a Tootsie Roll during a commercial break. Right after we go to break and have it done and gone before we come back from the commercial break.
It's amazing what a human being can shove down their gullet in a limited period of time.
Uh-huh. And so, when
just watch that guy who eats hot dogs. It's crazy. I know. Anyway, welcome back, everyone. You're listening to The Design Coach right here on Lake 96.1 with your host, Philip Sassano. And we're talking about the foundations of great service. And, you know, having been in this business for 25 plus years, I've seen a lot. And we're experiencing a lot. And what's interesting is we're experiencing a lot on a national level. But more importantly, just not on a national level with projects, but we're experiencing the service industry and the ways people provide the service on multiple levels outside of contracting and design and in the lifestyle of the client. This gets into one of the major pinch points for any homeowner, which is maintenance of the home. Not just big projects and remodels and new builds and all of those types of things that require a certain level of collaboration. I'm talking about the easy stuff.
Right.
I'm talking about the easy stuff that is just maintenance related. Trying to find people who can start with what we talked about in the last segment being the active listening piece about what are you really trying to achieve. Coming to an understanding of what that really looks like for the client as far as what is the outcome. What are the needs and the how a job gets done, not just what gets done, but how it gets done, is something that I'm always surprised with how often it never makes it to the invoice.
Really?
Yeah, I'm going to describe, or the estimate. I shouldn't say the invoice.
The estimate.
The estimate.
Right.
For those of you who have never looked at an estimate, the first thing you everyone goes to is price. Right? We all do it.
100%.
We all go to what's the number. Right. But let's just assume for a moment that the number is relatively close within a few $100s or a few $1,000s. I will tell you that the diligence that comes from the act of listening as reflected in the estimate is a tell as to whether or not you were really heard at the meeting. The more detailed the estimate on the part of the contractor, the more you understand whether or not they understand what you wanted.
Mm-hmm.
And what you
exactly.
expressed.
Absolutely.
Now, this goes back to a contract that I believe when I see estimates come through that are very thorough and very detailed, it says a lot. It says you heard me. You heard us. You were detailed in your account of what you believe needs to happen, even in the trajectory. In other words, the next steps.
Mm-hmm.
And the service providers that outline their process, in addition to their price, do one important thing, and that's make their value case. If you just leave it up to price, the price or the cost of something, you've missed an opportunity to tell me that you get me. And there's value there. And in fact, that is, I can't tell you, Nancy, how often that still happens. Well, I just wanted to get you a number.
Right.
Well, I didn't just want a number. I wanted to know your approach to the project. I wanted to know whether or not you really understand what you're trying to achieve here. I don't want your, unless this is a number you're giving me just to make me go away.
Right.
Which it's way better off if you're the active listener on the part of the contractor to just say, I've never really done that before. I might not be your guy.
Uh-huh. Exactly. That's what I was going to say. I mean, that's how you say, I'm not really into what you're doing.
Yeah. Self-awareness.
Right.
See, and that has nothing to do with how good someone is as a contractor. I will be honest with you. I've seen some very, very good contractors who just are really rigid in the way that they want to approach a job. And it's either their way or the highway.
And that's okay for their sector of business.
Well, it can be, but it doesn't make for a great collaborative environment.
Right. That's going to be very difficult to work
with
someone else.
And on maintenance items, that might not be that important. You know, maintenance items are the quick hits. You know, I need something fixed, not created from scratch.
Right.
But the level of situational awareness, the level of active listening as then reflected in the estimate, and I don't care what service industry you're talking about. If you're talking about a wedding planner, if you're talking about, you know, what we do on a regular basis by doing menus, your ability to look at that menu and really hear the way they crafted the experience for you as outlined, that actually speaks to then when you look at the price, you're like, oh, there was a lot of thought and intentionality put into it. It inherently makes it better.
And it doesn't matter what the project is. Can say that? Because,
but it doesn't even matter what the industry is.
It doesn't, because I got an HVAC estimate that was intensely detailed. And frankly, the exact price I thought it was going to be, I mean, everything was on this thing. And that it wasn't even necessary. Like, we had gone over everything, talked about everything, communicated and all of that. And really, honestly, he could have gotten away with just giving me the basics because we had verbally and physically gone over every inch of the house and said, this is what, and he taught me a lot of stuff about the industry and what I should be looking for and maybe some different options. And he was still that detailed on it and was completely unnecessary. I already knew what he would, you know. And so, but that, it's exactly like you said, there's no possible way I will not hire that guy. No possible way. Not only do you listen to me, you gave me suggestions, you educated me, and then you turned around and you supported everything that you said to me, and you cared enough to put it in writing so that I wouldn't forget or I wouldn't miss any details myself. That is the contractor that you want.
Mm-hmm.
He figured it out.
And now let's take it to next step, practical application and attributes.
Okay.
You get the estimate. Mm-hmm. It's a reflection of active listening. It outlines exactly what you want, and you're okay with the price. Let's mm-hmm. just assume all those things are true. Okay?
Check, check, check.
Check, check, check. Fantastic. What's next? Okay, when? How long and when?
Mm-hmm.
Right? You have your price. You have your outline. How, when? How long? Watch for qualifying language. I will tell you, I think that that is one of the things, the lack of directness that I have seen in contractors, the contractors that are the most direct, like, I'm booked out 8 weeks. However, for smaller parts of the project, I might be able to execute
exactly
a couple of things, but I cannot give you days.
Right. Like, put a key in a lockbox.
Right.
I can get over there and get it. Yep.
That level is the trust next. That's the next level trust, is really being honest about when it can be, the outcome can be achieved. I will say that when I've seen this go wrong, It's because there's too much qualifying language.
Okay.
You're better off saying, I don't know.
Right.
It depends on how fast you make decisions. This is when clients ask me, well, how long is it going to take me to build my house? I don't know. How decisive are you? How indecisive are you? How cheap are you? No, not kidding.
Yeah, I know.
Okay. When are you going to nickel and dime me over something crazy?
Right.
Right? That, like, in the grand scheme of things is, like, not really that big of a financial factor.
Right.
In the construction
given
of your
the
project.
Whole project.
Like,
right.
let's really have that discussion about, like, right. when are you going to get weird on me about that? And trust me, they all get weird. At some point, the stress, both financially and from a timeline perspective,
we all
makes
get
them
weird.
Apprehensive.
Yeah.
Your job is to sort of clear that up and mitigate that from the beginning, not just with your active listening, but in the next step that I'm trying to frame, which is the how and when.
Right.
I have learned in my career that the qualifying language to want to please people is one of the biggest detriments. They're afraid of losing the job. They're afraid of disappointing you. They're afraid of whatever the fear is. This is this defensive posture I outlined in the first segment.
Mm-hmm.
When you're communicating on the defensive, you will skirt, you will use qualifying language to just try to placate.
Vague and evasive.
Mm-hmm. I have really learned that there is, when you're going to be vague, say why. Here's why I'm being vague. I don't know X, Y, Z. Here's why I don't have a final price. I don't know this, this, this. In other words, you can break it back down to specifics.
But you have to be very careful not to throw other people under the bus with that. Not like, well, I would know what I could do, but this guy won't get back to me or anything like that. See, that doesn't make me happy either.
No, but I will. But then it, what that does is that speaks to the quality of their network.
Right.
See, if their network's not responsive.
Exactly.
And you know that they're only one person. This is the entire reason I built a design coach team. One of my major service flaws earlier in my career wasn't that I couldn't come up with great ideas. It's that my brain outthought and out-ideaed my network.
And you're, yeah.
So my clients would love the design and what I came up with. And then I had to go find people to execute
it. Come on.
In a time frame.
Right.
And I was also doing, and still do to this day, really big, crazy ideas.
Right. Right.
Okay.
Right.
That are not normal. So I've had to learn to coach next level. This is why the estimate matters. This is why the project clarity matters. And this is why that next level down is the other thing that you need to look for as this foundation of really great service is how well does the contractors or service providers network understand the project that they outlined for you? Because I'm going to tell you right now, the misalignment that I see on a regular basis, usually you'll get with the contractor that owns the company and the estimator and the owner understand the parameters.
Right.
And then the tech or the contractor arriving on the job site doesn't have the necessary tools, clarity,
education knowledge,
or understanding.
Right.
Now, this has been exacerbated by the lack of people going into the trades and the lack of taking that and making that, because we've, again, litigated and we have 100% degraded, okay, the pride in labor, an honest day's work, okay, to do contracting.
Mm-hmm.
We have 100% devalued that.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
We have absolutely put certain college degrees that now people are unemployed.
Right. That looks great on the wall.
Encouraging people to go into the trades. So we've been in a trade deficit for decades.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't mean trade overseas. I mean like trades.
Right.
Tradesmen.
People working.
Tradespeople. People doing work with their hands.
With their hands.
I hope that begins to change, but it's going to take decades to get back to where we were if we ever even get there. Okay?
I have to say this, though. Think about it. If you're actually paying attention and listening, more people are definitely encouraging that going into the skilled trades.
I'm telling you, it is
more
so,
than ever right now. And you're right. It's so nice.
It is so nice. It is so necessary. Mm-hmm. And it will be the one thing AI
can never do.
Can never really replace.
Right.
AI can, you can create robots to build buildings, but they can't do certain, they can't strategically oftentimes think through the way a human being is trying to interact with another human being.
That's, and all those buildings they're all going to look exactly the same.
Listen, but
it's
I'm not
an
saying
assembly
it's,
line.
I'm not saying eventually it's not. I'm just saying right now it's not.
Yeah.
And I can't think 200 years down the road.
No.
I can only think in the next 20.
Right.
Okay.
If that. So, like, you have a lot going on pretty much the next 20 months.
So yeah, exactly. Right. So next 20 minutes.
Right.
So right now, what we need to focus on is does your service provider have a network that encourages and supports the active listening exercise that earned them the job?
Right.
There's a lot to look for in that, in whether or not that service provider can actually pull the job off. They might be able to outline it. They might be able to price it. But can they do it? What does that look like from a service provider perspective?
Like, how do you know?
How do you know? There are signs. Stay with us. You're listening to The Design Coach right here on Lake 96.1. You caught me mid-chew.
Oh, almost didn't get that Tootsie Roll out.
Anyway, welcome back, everyone. It is segment four of The Design Coach right here on Lake 96.1 with your host, Philip Sassano. And we're trying to take a deeper dive into the foundations of great service.
Segment four.
Yeah, segment four. What does it really look like? I'm going to cover a couple things up front. Nancy, yes, you in the front.
Yes, I raised my hand. Can I just remind people, as a practical matter, if you pick up the phone and you call someone and they say that they can be there in a half an hour, you do not want to use them.
This is true.
It's just my rule of the day.
What do we always say? Great! Because why we call late? Mm-hmm. We procrastinate.
Right.
We put off our maintenance.
Right.
Right. This is what we do.
But if they're sitting on the couch, they ain't good
at
it.
We are our own worst enemy when it comes to service providers.
100%.
We are.
100%.
And then, God forbid, contractors or other service providers put in boundaries to their service.
What?
You know, there is that saying, you really want to find out what someone's true personality is. It's not by telling them yes. It's by tell them no and see how they react.
Right.
Put in the boundary.
Absolutely.
And in this last segment, I want to talk about the boundaries. Let's just assume for a minute there's effective communication. Let's just assume for a moment that, you know, all of the really good tenets to really great service being like, you know, you're responsive, you're courteous, you're kind, you're respectful, you're honest, right? You're transparent. Let's just assume that all of that is intact. And all of that may be true. And in the beginning, everybody's your friend.
Right. Okay.
In the beginning of a project, everybody's excited. It's like a road trip. You're all excited in the car. Then you get in and everybody smells 3 hours in. The food starts running out. You're still not at your destination. And then everybody's arguing and looks edible. Okay. Like, all I'm saying is that the projects are a lot like that, mm-hmm. right? Where it starts in the beginning of a road trip, you're excited.
We're like, woo,
let's go. You know, and then someone's drooling on you. And then the next thing you know, like,
me. Mom.
You know what I'm saying? Like, all sorts of weird stuff happens.
She's sitting on my side. Are we there yet?
You get lost and you stray.
Are we there yet?
Yeah, okay. Enough analogies on that. But I will tell you, let's just assume that the bedrock of that is like the proper communication. Here's when you know you've got a great partner. Boundaries and problems. When you push, they respectfully, not angrily, but they respectfully say, I would love to do that for you. However, this would be my barrier to doing that. Either I am very busy, I do want your job. However, 8 weeks is when I can get it to you.
Right.
And so the ability for the contractor to check themselves down to help you help yourself is one of the best things I've learned to really appreciate in great service providers.
I was going to say, because you still
Philip,
have
I would
options.
I would love to do that for you, but I can't do that. But I can do this. So right. In other words, the backside of that isn't just putting in the boundary. I really respect that a lot. I actually respect people who are like, I'd love to get it to you in 5 weeks. Mm-hmm. I can't. My production schedule and my team has us booked out 8 weeks, right?
Right.
Solid.
Right.
And you also don't want them to go find other bodies to execute the vision, okay? Hopefully you've chosen a service provider that has staff that's qualified, that they've trained, that right. they've invested in.
Right.
You'll know the level of investment by the preparedness of the team that shows up at the house.
100%.
You will also know the level of investment by how many times the same person that gave you the estimate or did the contract manages the job and communicates with you. One of the things that I really enjoy about having a team that does what we do now is that I can deputize almost anyone on the team to communicate and update a client. That was never the case. I was too much of a control freak. It would all have to go through me.
Right.
Now I'm such an efficient and transparent shop that I'm okay if my people have to deliver bad news. I mean, I'll eventually have to own it,
right.
which I do,
right.
but sometimes it's beyond my control. And we do our best to try to outline for clients why it is out of our control and why that isn't something we can rush.
And sometimes it's a matter of delivery, right? It's not, yes. You can't deliver it as you're making an excuse. You have to deliver it as you're communicating a hurdle or trying to overcome a struggle. And, you know, so what would you like to see happen if we have to wait this long?
Problem solving and preparedness.
Right.
This anticipation piece that really goes, I don't know, under discussed is at the absolute, at a core, the anticipation of what's needed to do the job and then to prepare for it so that when you arrive on site, you're ready to work, has been one of the things that is really, really outlined for me. Service providers that are excellent and ones that are just okay.
Right.
Are they constantly having to go run out for materials? Are they constantly having to go run out for things that they missed or forgot? Did the office, for instance, prepare them with enough project notes? Okay, one of the things that we recently started doing at the Design Coach is we now do contracting lists. And when a contractor shows up at the house, we'll have a list. Mm-hmm. Says, hey, these are the following things that are sort of the outcomes for the day. We understand if you don't get to them all, we would just need to know why. Okay, but it gives them clarity
right. In
the understanding. Do you know that sometimes the minute the contractor shows up and says, I'm not aware of any of these things, it's like, well, we developed this list with your office. How good is the service provider?
Right.
From the people coordinating the service, coaching it in the field. Now, this is something where I have very little room for error. Okay. I have teams involved in the lifestyle of the client, not just the design,
right.
Not just the construction.
Right.
I have them in the living their life phase
right.
of service. So I don't have a lot of room for error. And I'm constantly getting feedback about how to improve coaching, training and the service at that granular a level. We really appreciate it. We take the feedback as process improvement.
Sure.
And as people improvement. You know, I heard recently Simon Sinek, and if you don't know who he is, look him up. Simon Sinek is one of those gurus that's on LinkedIn and all over on social media. And he talks about the more human side of the corporate interaction, how that's been lost. And he says, you know, when people come to hire, you know, come to work for him, he expects sort of two things. And one of the things that he mentioned is that he expects people to work on themselves, that he wants them for however long they're with his company or companies, however long they're there, that they leave a better person, right? Yeah. And that they work on themselves.
Yeah.
Because everybody comes to this equation that I'm describing today. Everybody comes to this dynamic, the service dynamic flawed. This whole concept of the customer's always right, nope. Not anymore.
Nope.
The customers have lied, cheated, and stealed their way into a service providing. No, they have.
Yes.
Into a service providing mindset that has put the service provider on the defensive.
That concept.
In most instances.
Is what created Karens. 100%. You are not always right.
No.
It is not okay.
And
when you think that, it's disrespectful to the people who are trying to provide the service that you want and need.
Mm-hmm. But
disrespectful.
But also, the selective hearing is at an all-time high because of the level of distraction in our lives.
Oh my gosh, that's so true.
The selective
yes.
listening of what you thought you heard is at an all-time high. And it's only gotten worse since I've been doing what I've been doing. So I've had to deliver the service that I want to provide. I've had to find service providers that will slow down.
Right.
Actively listen.
Right.
And then actively repeat the outcome. Okay. To both their team, the client, and me to make sure we're all aligned. I really appreciate that. Mm-hmm. Okay. Because it's something that gives me lift. Because normally I have to do it. That's called a good partner.
Right.
Think about when your household is running well between you and your spouse and you're on the same page with the kids and you're on the same page with your schedule and your logistics of your life and it runs well and there's an anticipation between the two of you where you're almost completing each other's thoughts
right.
and movements.
Right.
Without even having to speak.
Or think
about
it.
That's what you're looking for in a good service provider. Somebody who knows you almost that well. Who can say, I know you would have liked us to do it this way. I know you would have liked, so we took the extra step to do it. Yes, you in the front.
It's almost like you haven't used the word that's just completely prominent over all of this. Mm-hmm. It's a C word.
Okay. Easy. Family show.
Communication.
Yes.
It boils down to communication. Period. End of story. They have to, everybody has to communicate honestly. They have to communicate
clearly.
Clearly.
And frequently.
Frequently, quickly. Mm-hmm. And to everyone.
One of the best things that I think we started doing, and I started doing this maybe 4 years ago, I started doing what are called space communications. In other words, I was really working on a project and I wasn't getting the response I wanted. And I'm really trying to figure it out. But I wanted the client to know or the contractor to know that we were thinking about them. And that I was on it. Like I was actively working on it. I've coached my team to send space emails like, hey, I know we were trying to get you this answer by Friday. I need another day because I'm really trying to hone in on a couple of specifics to be able to get you the answer in the most complete way.
Right, a better answer.
A better answer. Right. But I wanted to let you know that I'm working on it.
Right.
Sometimes that's all it takes, guys.
Seriously.
All it takes is you're thinking about me.
Yes,
you're
as a consumer.
You're thinking about me. You are thinking about my project. You are aware. I've learned this the hard way as a contractor. As I was trying to grow my company and trying to be nine places at one time, like a lot of these contractors that are out there, I now have a larger team, so I'm not worried about that. And I don't really handle any of my own scheduling, which is great.
Right.
They just tell me where I need to be, okay, which is fantastic. And they make sure that the you know, all of the cars align
right
to be able to do the big things that we're trying to achieve.
Right.
But what I love, I loved it when people would just come to the table and say, okay, I don't have all the answers, but I'm going to get them for you.
Mm-hmm. Because you know what that says?
I care.
That says you are valuable to me.
Yes.
That you took 10 seconds out of your day and said, typed a couple of words to say, hey, you're still on the radar. That's like, again, I'm a huge consumer of all of this stuff right now. That means so much.
But we are so adverse. If we don't, we're so paranoid to not have the right answer, we're afraid to even speak.
Yeah, but that's going to tick someone off even more.
No, but we do it in politics. We do it
right.
in business. We do
right.
it. We do it in personally. We do it everywhere, Nancy.
Right.
We're so afraid to not use our messy words to say we're still working on it that we would rather just stay silent.
Right. And that will kill your job every time.
But it also
and the trust.
Isn't human.
Exactly.
Human is... I'm working on it with you. I'm working on it for you. I might need a little bit of extra time, but I wanted to let you know where I'm at with it.
Mm-hmm.
Where I have run into problems is when my team hasn't done that and I've deputized them to do that, or mm-hmm. I haven't done it myself.
Right, right.
It wasn't that the job I did was the wrong job. It was that I wasn't effective or frequent enough in my communications.
Right.
I'm going to tell you that these service triggers that we talked about on today's show are very important, but they're not just important for you to recognize in a contractor. They're for you to recognize in yourself, okay, as a client. And as a contractor, it is the gateway to better work with better people. You want better jobs. You want more impressive work. Pro up, okay? Pro up. Okay, it's the only way to do it is to just be better. Have a great Sunday, everybody. You've been listening to The Design Coach right here on Lake 96.1. You've been coached.